So
you hear that, listeners, after many episodes of us teasing the Nintendo Switch, we've now changed our tune, and yeah, it is the most
magnificent. We're fully on board. Device. Welcome to Rated NAD Podcast for the website nerdappropriate.com. This is episode 265, and I'm out of energy. I'm your host, Matt.
And I'm Scott.
I'm Ash.
This is part three of our PAX East 2017 coverage in a hotel room.
It is. You guys are about to go home, and I'm about to get stuck in a blizzard.
Oh, man.
You'll get out.
I hope you don't.
That would be terrible for a variety of reasons.
Just make sure you take the bathrobe so that you can shelter for warmth outside.
Just kick me out of the airport. You need to go lay in the snow, bitch.
Yeah. Honestly, you could probably just sleep in the concourse until they throw you out.
There's tonight. A whole new conference moving, and you see all the new people with their new badges.
Yeah, it's always funny when, like, the changeover occurs, because there are a lot of people checking into the hotel today that are, like, have no idea what they're...
I saw one businessman taking a picture with two cosplayers, because he was just...
Yeah, I guess really. What is Overwatch and why is everyone dressed up as that? Good times.
Cool.
We'll play some games today.
Let's play some games.
We almost had very little to talk about until like the last 20 minutes of our day, but I think it all kind of went down. So I don't know who.
We got to play some stuff.
I might have played the most.
You played the most? Okay, so Matt should start. Let's talk about what we played today.
I swung by. They don't have the publisher written on here. Oh, they do. I swung by, there's a Polish publisher area for 11-bit studios, and they hit a bunch of like interesting-looking games up. Scott, I think, stopped kind of by one for a second, but I ended up stopping and playing one called Tower 57, and it is another one of those kind of like three-quarter down pixel art action RPG games. This one is set in a sort of Bioshocky future, where you are going to a tower to investigate a crime, and you can be one of like five different classes. You actually pick three different characters. You can't switch between them, but they, as you die, you roll between the different characters, and then it becomes a super dungeon crawly through the tower as you're going. This one was like 90% aesthetic for me. It wasn't, the gameplay was fine. It wasn't anything super dynamic or interesting, but the aesthetic was really cool. If you're into that kind of Bioshock stuff, this is, I think, an early availability on Steam right now, and it's called Tower 57. It's just kind of
cool. That's the interesting thing about PAX right now is there are games in all stages of development. Mm-hmm. There have been games that have been here for 4 years. And I'm not even exaggerating. Some studios have been bringing games back here for 4 years and then just showing them off. And then there's games that are like pre-alpha. There's games that are like prototypes. Mm-hmm. And then there's games that are available on Steam now in early access.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, that's one of the things that like a lot of these games that we're talking about, if you really try, you can probably find a copy of it somewhere in some capacity. So there's a lot. I mean, one thing between talking about games that I thought was really interesting is I feel like there's more games here this year, but there are less AAA games overall. So like a lot of the big studios just aren't here, or if they're here, they have a kind of a smaller, more limited presence. And then there's just a ton of foreign developers this year. There's like an Aussie section. There's like an Asian section. There's of course the indie mega booth, and so there's just a ton of indie games.
Yeah,
and a lot of really good ones.
Yeah, this one was really fun. I didn't get super in depth. I died kind of early, and you have to restart at that point with the demo, so I didn't restart. But it was super fun. The aesthetic was really cool. Made by two guys in Poland.
Wow.
Yeah, like did the whole thing. So
I think very small dev teams is kind of like the theme of this weekend for us. You know?
Yeah. So that was my first game, Tower 57.
Cool. I believe somebody on our social media asked us to go check out Serial Cleaner.
Yes.
So I did. Serial Cleaner is a retro-styled 70s stealth action game. So you play as a cleaner for, like, these mobsters. And so you roll up onto a crime scene where there's cops patrolling the area, and it's your job to collect all the evidence, collect all the bodies, and clean up all the blood without having the cops spot you.
Okay.
Oh, okay. So you're a fixer.
You're a fixer. Yeah, cleaner, fixer, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So I played four or five levels, different environments. So basically, like, cops are patrolling these, like, weird areas, and you know, they have all the evidence cones down where, like, everything is. And so you pick up the evidence, you go to where the dead bodies are, and you pick up the bodies, and you need to get them back to your station wagon and dump them in the station wagon.
All right.
And then you have to... So every level has certain objectives to meet. So it's like, where there was blood, I had to clean up, like, 60 units of blood in order to be able to leave the level.
Okay.
And so, like, you, one of the mechanics is that you put out, like, a what looks like a mop or a vacuum cleaner, and you just start, like, going around the blood and, like, trying to sweep it up as fast as you can before the cops spot you. And they have, like, these vision cones, and you can hide behind things and everything, and you can dive into cover. And it was pretty neat. I believe it's coming to PlayStation 4, PC, and possibly Xbox as well.
Cool.
in the near future. I'd be curious to see how that game scales, like, after multiple levels.
Yeah.
Because I felt like I didn't have a lot of actions I could perform other than to, like, move my guy behind an obstruction or to dive into cover. So I didn't know if there was, like, other things that I would be able to do. But what I saw, like, looked really cool. There's, like, retro music, a custom soundtrack in the game that they made. And the graphics are all, like, 70s inspired. So that was Serial Cleaner.
Cool.
Yeah.
And actually, Wolverblade was really cool. It's a kind of a side-scrolling brawler, similar to something like Golden Axe or Castle Crashers. It's based in real history, so you play as a bunch of barbarians who are facing off against, like, I guess the encroaching Roman Empire and other barbarian tribes. So there are three different selectable characters, and it being a brawler, there's a variety of different moves and stuff you could do. There were grapples, which I thought were really cool. So if your character actually walked on top of the enemy, you could, like, pin them down and, like, headbutt them. You know, similar to the old, like, Bad Dudes,
which
we've referenced in the past. Yeah. Bad Dudes or Streets of Rage. When you got close, you could actually do a grapple. They did the same thing in Wolverblade. There were items you could pick up on the ground. So if somebody dropped, like, a big axe or something, you can pick it up and use it. It had a very, like, great feel. It wasn't 16-bit or 8-bit. It was actually, the graphics were pretty relatively modern. It was still 2D,
but, like,
flat.
Old-school game mechanics, but, like...
Old-school game mechanics, but really, really sharp-looking, 1080p, HD, like, really gorgeous art. On top of that, your character had a rage mechanic, so as you actually fought and took down enemies, you built up this rage, and then you can unleash your rage, and you kind of become super-powered for a limited amount of time and can run around and, like, tear people up. Really violent, like, you can, you know, tear off limbs and stuff like that and throw heads at people. there was a cool super mechanic that I found in the game that, once you get to a certain point, you can unleash wolves, and wolves will run across the stage and, like, jump onto enemies and pin them down and kill them. It's sort of like this, like, ultimate, you know, how in Golden Axe,
when you
use your potions and all the fire would go across the screen. It's the same sort of situation. I did a boss fight, so I actually played through the demo twice because I had a lot of fun. I wanted to try two different characters. I did the boss fight. The first time I did the boss fight, I died. Ultra-sized, like, super-sized barbarian that was, like, really, really challenging. Took both players, co-op players, to take down. Didn't beat him the first time, did beat him the second time after learning his patterns and stuff, which is what you had to do in these games. It's actually coming to consoles and available on Steam. I don't know the exact release date, but if you're into a brawler and you're looking to something for something to kind of fill that Castle Crashers gap, you know, fun couch co-op type of game, definitely check out Wolverblade. I do have a funny story. I finished playing next to this guy who I thought was a little older probably than he was. I'm like, man, that was... I was like, when we finished, like, that was fun. It reminded me of Golden Axe. He was just like, what's Golden Axe? I was like, oh, man. I'm old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I should have said something.
We're all
more timely. But yeah, Wolverblade was cool. Check it out.
Awesome.
Cool. Do you want to talk about Nintendo Switch?
Do you want to talk about Nintendo Switch, Scott?
I kind of do. We were hanging out together, and I just happened to pull up my phone and saw that Nintendo America's social media account tweeted a photo from the convention floor saying, like, hey, come find these two people. They have Nintendo Switch. You can play Snipper Clips.
Mm-hmm.
And the line to get into the Nintendo booth has been, like, bananas bonkers. All
yeah.
weekend.
Yeah.
So
well, I found out if you play all three of the stations of the Nintendo, you can go to the back and get a free hat.
Yeah, I saw people had that hat.
That's why everybody's doing it.
Yeah. When I pulled up the social media post, it was, like, 5 minutes old. So I showed it to Matt. Ash was playing some. I showed it to Matt. I was like, hey, they just posted this, and yeah. I know where they are. Like, let's go find them and see if they're still there. And so we walked around the convention center floor. They were standing right at the entrance. Like, nobody was around them. And so we just walked right up, and I was like, hey. And they're like, hey. I was like, can we play Snipper Clips? I was like, sure.
Yeah, they were a little cagey at first with details. Yeah. You were like, hi, and they were like, hello. And I was like, are they going to say hi, we're Nintendo, or what are we doing here?
Yeah.
What's the secret password?
There was no password. But like, no password. They started getting us set up there like, oh, did you see our social media post? And I was like, yeah, that's why we came and found you. It's like, we want to play. So we got to play the game that's been buzzed about a lot, which is Snipper Clips. And so,
what is Snipper Clips?
Okay, so it's kind of like a party type game.
Why does it have a terrible name?
It'll become apparent in a second.
Okay.
So, in Snipper Clips, it's like these mini game puzzles that you solve with another person. So your two avatars are both like these like U-shaped creatures. So imagine like a rectangle that's rounded at the bottom.
Okay.
And you can rotate your shape, like, around your body, raise and lower yourself. And the two characters can take chunks out of one another. So if you overlap each other, you can cut out a shape from that character. And so basically you can mold each other into different kind of, like, shapes and tools to complete the puzzles in the game. So the first tutorial mission was to match the shape that was on the screen and kind of, like, fill in, like, the dotted line with the shape. And then we played some other levels in which we had to, like, hit a button that released a basketball, and then we had to, like, get the basketball somehow into the basketball hoop and, like, shoot a basket.
Mm-hmm.
Which Matt, like, totally, like, he hacked it because he carried the basketball over to the hoop, pushed it up through the hoop, and then it fell back down.
Jumped up until it fell back down.
And then back down and cleared the level. There was, like,
They were literally going, like, I don't know if that'll work. And then it worked, and they were like, oh!
Yeah. We played a different level where it was like the crane game. So Matt would push the button, and then this like monkey thing would come over and like try to grab me. But because I was like rounded, it wouldn't pick me up. So Matt came over and like kind of clipped me out. So I was like the shape of like the letter T. And so when the monkey crane game thing came to grab me, I got picked up, put onto like a platform, and then I was able to push the ball into this like target area, and then we cleared the level. So the game is like
a puzzle game.
Yeah, it's like a total party game. It's a downloadable title, only for Nintendo Switch. It's only downloadable.
I will say, not being a Nintendo guy, the level of polish on even these like dumb little party games that they make,
right,
is kind of ridiculous. Like the little paper things that you are have like faces and legs, and everything moves very like cartoony rubbery.
Yeah.
But their faces, like, they make faces during the movement and when you're clipping them and stuff, and it's very, like, Disney-level, like, emotive inside of this stupid little paper clip face thing.
Like, every time we clip each other, like, they would grimace.
Yeah, it was pretty...
That's cool.
I was pretty amazed by that kind of stuff.
It all looked like it was, like, construction paper, too, so it almost, like, looked like it was all happening, like, on, like, a pad of paper.
Yeah. Like, I will say this is our first hands on the Switch, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
It looks nice. Like, it looks nice. It plays really smooth.
I know.
Controllers were pretty nice. Like, the whole thing worked really well, really quickly.
It's very convincing.
It was like, I played it and I was like, oh, okay, this is actually, it's a pretty nice machine. Yeah. They did a good job.
I would say that the hype is real.
Because
we each held one of the Joy-Con, and I don't know if you've seen it, but for our listeners too, the Joy-Cons snap out of the Nintendo Switch, obviously. But then you can kind of slide on this, like, accessory that rounds off the part that was attached to the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
And it adds some shoulder buttons to the top of it, too. You could press the shoulder buttons in without it, but it adds a shoulder strap and rounds off the edges. So it kind of feels like a bigger, slightly bigger controller.
Right.
But we were able to play Snipper Clips with these tiny little individual Joy-Cons and still have a pretty good time.
It worked fine.
Yeah, it works great. So, like, for party games. Like, the Joy-Cons are cool. And then, you know, I held one yesterday.
Were you,
like,
playing just on the portable unit?
Yeah, she, like...
She was just holding it.
Yeah, oh. One of the social media people was just holding the unit in their hand for us.
Because we were just standing, like, yeah, in the middle of the floor.
Yeah, we were just standing, like, right next to the pack sign.
Okay.
And so they just held us each a Joy-Con. We put the wrist strap on, like, Wii U style. Then held the controller like it was, like, a Super Nintendo controller.
Looks like they can only demo for about 2 hours and 45 minutes after you guys left.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know as far as that goes. We didn't really, like, look at anything other than, like, they booted up and we started playing Snipper Clips. But that game is...
But it's USB-C. You can take the old portable charger charge thing.
Yeah,
back up
that's
if
the
you
other
want.
Thing, too, is that, like, now they have universal
do that.
Charging. Yeah, it's USB-C. It's not...
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
So
not some weird proprietary...
No. Yeah.
So you can plug it into anything.
Yeah. And I don't know if I mentioned this yesterday... But something I learned that I didn't know about Nintendo Switch is that the kickstand that they show you is a breakaway kickstand.
Yeah.
So magnetic. I don't think I said it on the podcast. I told you guys, but it's, like, magnetic.
Yeah.
So if something were to, like, knock your Switch over, the kickstand would just break away. You just snap it back in magnetically, set it back up, and you're good to go.
Yeah.
So
you hear that, listeners, after many episodes of us teasing the Nintendo Switch, we've now changed our tune, and it is the most magnetic
device. We're fully on board.
I'm just so, you know, like, it, again.
Scott is now like, I should have fucking gotten that Switch.
I know. I'm torn. I mean, it was $300 that I didn't have, but, like, I think, you know, I would still get one in the future. Yeah. And that was super fun. Well, so cool. That was our... super spontaneous Nintendo Switch experience with
they
Snipper
gave you
Clips.
Nintendo bucks, man.
Yeah, like Nintendo for playing bucks. For playing, they gave us some eShop currency, which was very
nice. Did they
call
them Nintendo bucks? If they don't, Ash, you should give that to them.
No.
Nintendo bucks.
Yeah, but we got
I'm
a little
sure
something.
They'll pay me for it.
Yeah, we got a little something for playing, which was nice too. So it was nice hanging out with
they'll
them.
They'll give you 15 Nintendo bucks.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Yeah. Back to the wild.
We played an upcoming mobile title from Epic. Called Battlebreakers, which we are allowed to talk about. So Battlebreakers is not out in the U.S. yet, but it is the first time Epic is making a title for iOS and Android. It is a kind of a collectible hero battler that has a really it's like it's mixing like a bubble popping game with a turn-based strategy game where you collect over 100 different heroes. It's powered by the Unreal 4 engine. It looks absolutely gorgeous. Each one of the heroes you can collect has a different elemental attack, or different attacks in general, and different special abilities. And it's up to you to build a team of heroes as you collect them throughout the land, and then you go on an adventure through this big map and try and break these crystals that are appearing that monsters have started spawning. And so you cruise throughout the map, breaking these crystals and fighting monsters, and improving your stats and improving your gear and leveling up. And I really like what I saw. Like, what we were saying to from Nick from Epic was that, you know, just been playing a lot more mobile lately.
Mm-hmm.
And it does seem like a title that I would get into just because it's, you know, I love collecting all the different heroes in those types of games. And I feel like it did have a ton of depth.
Yeah.
And visually, it was just, like, really, really, really pretty. I mean, seeing a mobile title using Unreal 4 is pretty cool.
Yeah,
so.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it looked great.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of levels of polish, like, when Epic puts out this kind of mobile game, it's just, like, it looked insane. The music was crazy, the whole thing. Like, there was a weird part where you had it up, and I couldn't see it, and you were just playing, so I was just hanging out. And it legitimately sounded like an 80s arcade. And he was like, yeah, like that's what they're going for, that kind of like theme or feel to the game.
I was impressed with how much of the game was animated.
Yeah.
Like he was saying that you can look at the character models and they look two-dimensional, but they're kind of like moving in like a little animated sequence.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, they're totally like full characters. And when you were playing on different levels and advancing through those levels, there was like a full animation of you advancing through the different environments in the game.
Yeah,
it's very pretty, and when you unleash special attacks, it does like this nice zoom in, like sort of like, you know, early 90s anime style zoom in on the character and shows them in action. And the models were really great, especially for a game where he said that even at launch there's going to be over 100 different heroes to find and collect of all different rarities and stuff like that.
I think if you're like already a Fire Emblem Heroes fan, you could very easily get into a game like this as well.
Yeah.
Like it's not, I mean, it's not exactly the same, like, you know, core mechanic, but I think it scratches a similar itch.
Right. Yeah. And I think what was interesting also is it felt like the heroes were all very, very different.
Yeah.
So like they had, you know, they had elemental properties to them. So there were some that had, you know, ice attacks, fire attacks, heals, and things of that nature. But they all seemed visually very, very different and kind of cool and inspired. So definitely, I don't know a release date. He said it is going to be this year. But if you like mobile titles and you like the stuff that Epic does, definitely keep your eyes peeled for Battle Breakers. So it was good.
I went to the tabletop area again and demoed a game that I'm going to let Ash look at the artwork for, and Scott, if he wants to.
Oh, okay, thanks.
Called Laser Riders.
Whoa.
And it is a... Those are the actual game boxes. It is...
Oh, man.
It is a Tron light bike tabletop game, essentially.
Okay.
Where you have these, like, little hexagons that get put down, or octagons that get put down on the table randomly. And it can be up to four players, I think, or maybe five. And you start from a point on the end of your table, and then you have these pieces, and you have a bike, and you can, like, gear up and gear down. So you can start at, like, gear one to gear five. And as you go up or down, the turns can be, like, harder or lighter. So you can
turn
harder.
This is all on tabletop.
It's all on tabletop.
Yeah, okay, right.
And it's roll-based. So you start, and you say, let's say you start in gear three, and you're going to go straight ahead. And then if you want to make a turn, you roll a six-sided die, and you have to get three or higher on the roll to make that turn successfully. Otherwise, you either go straight or you spin out. There's, like, things that can happen.
Okay.
And the whole goal is to cross directly through these octagons that are on the table. And if you cross directly through them, they turn your color, and you're trying to collect three before anybody else on the table collects three. But they can collect yours if you crash into each other's, like, light beams. So the actual game itself has these pieces that kind of, like, they're just cardboard pieces, but they go out. If you run into them, it resets everything, but you keep your score, and it resets a couple of the pieces that you have to gather. It was really fast, and it was pretty fun. I played it just with the guy who was demoing it. We didn't have anybody else at the table. I was saying that I actually just posted it on Instagram, the artwork, because it's like there. This Ash and I commented on this. This, like, 80s neon aesthetic is everywhere on the floor. It is insanity.
It happened very quickly.
It, like, overnight. I don't feel like it was this way last year, and then this year it's just, like, full of 80s aesthetic, like 80s neon aesthetic,
right,
like, everywhere.
It sucks because I really love it.
It is all over the place, and this is, like, straight out of that. Like, the artwork is all just bonkers. Like, the characters are all these, like, crazy, like, you know, the sheriff is, like, this black woman on a gold bike, and, like, there's the space rider or something is like a weird Americana guy on a laser bike. But the game was really fun. It looked really cool. I think they're still finishing the final product. They kickstarted it successfully, so it will actually come out. And the mechanic was pretty cool. Like, if you were just looking for it was super dumb, easy to play. It wasn't hard to play at all.
Right.
There were a couple, like, weird rules where it was like, you have to close your eyes and do this piece. Because it's random. And, like, when you pick up the pieces, you can't kind of, like, size out where you're going to go. You have to, like, hold them back here and then be like, okay. Because he said, like, basically the rule is the moment it crosses the table, you're put, it's like chess. Like, you put the piece down.
Okay.
So, but it was fun. It was cool. It's called Laser Riders. And, look for it at a tabletop store near you, I guess.
Cool.
Had a good time. Anybody play anything else?
You have anything, Scott? I have one last
thing. No, yeah, you go ahead.
I have one last, too.
No.
So.
That's okay. All I did.
I played a game called Aftercharge, which was in pre-alpha. I'll read the tagline here. It says, invisible robots are uprising against their creators in this tactical 3-versus-3 competitive game from Chain Awesome Games. So I got a chance to play as both the sort of the attackers and the defenders in this game. So it is a 3D action shooter. It's built using the Unity engine. It's really pretty. It's really, really cool to look at. But the basic premise is that there are these robots that are invisible, and the robots are trying to destroy different nodes on the map. And the nodes are in all different locations throughout the map. Some are up on top of hills. Some are in nooks and crannies. And they're basically like these big glowy kind of cylinders, right? And the robots want to destroy them, and their robots are completely invisible at all times. And then there are the defenders who are invincible. So the attackers are invisible and the defenders are invincible. And the defenders have a couple tricks up their sleeve in order to reveal the attackers. So they can throw a grenade down that can reveal them. If they get close enough, they have like a little like Ghostbuster beam that they can see the invisible people with. And they have guns to shoot and disable the robots. And so basically it's up to you as a team, as a defender, to try and figure out how to guard all of the cylinders before the robots can go in and melee them and break them. Hmm. And the robots have to try and stay out of the visual range of the attackers. And the robots have a couple tricks up their sleeve, but mainly the robots can just sneak around and break the glass in these nodes in order to win. In order to actually be successful as a defender, you have to disable all three robots, but the robots can revive each other at any time.
And they're invisible.
So,
like, it's kind of like a game of cat and mouse.
It is, yeah. Very much so. I started off looking at the premise and being like, this is going to be the most obnoxious thing ever. Like, there's nothing worse than a game where you... The prime mechanic denies you fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I enjoyed Evolve, but there was something about, like, chasing a giant monster that's hiding from me for, like, 25 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It got to be, like... daunting, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't exactly the most exciting thing. And I was like, is it going to be annoying to try and find these invisible, you know, characters all the time? Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be just like spraying my gun into the wind for 10 minutes.
You're just hoping you get them.
Right. But yeah. The maps are small enough that each match only takes 2 or 3 minutes. And then there's going to be a victor within 2 or 3 minutes.
Oh, cool.
So that being said, the mechanics of the game actually worked well, and it was fun. And they said that they are releasing, I want to say, 2 or 3 more classes other than those two to kind of change up, you know, change up the size.
That's cool.
Visually, it looked cool. It did look kind of Bioshock-esque, and I got this weird Ralph Bakshi Wizards vibe from like the way the characters were designed, if you remember that old 80s cartoon with like Necron 99 and stuff. It kind of reminded me of that. So I definitely, you know, since it is pre-alpha, and honestly probably he said won't come out until like mid next year, so this is like early. And it's weird when people bring games in this early that actually function, but keep your eyes peeled for Aftercharge. It was fun early, and I think it could be more fun in the future. So
awesome.
So yeah, it's cool. It's aftercharge.game.com, and then you can follow them on social media at Aftercharge on all this stuff.
So the last thing I played was a mobile game called Where Shadows Slumber. It was down in the indie area if you guys went down that way, but it is a Monument Valley style puzzle gamer.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Really kind of pretty looking. But the mechanic on this one is that you are a person carrying a torch, and as you move around things, shadows will move around the room. So, like, there'll be pillars, and if you move, the shadow will shift.
Yep.
And as the shadows move around the room, they affect the layout of the ground. So you might pass by one, and you won't see anything, and then when you loop around it again, a button will, like, appear after the shadow passes
over
the
area. Yeah, that's cool. I like that idea.
And it was pretty cool. Played pretty smoothly. Lots of puzzles. If you were into Monument Valley style puzzles, if you ever played Monument Valley.
I never did, no.
If you were into those puzzles, you'd probably really enjoy this game. It sits aesthetically somewhere between Monument Valley and, I'm going to blank on it. There was another Japanese art style game with like a creature and a mask. It's not going to come to me. But it sits somewhere between those two. It is on iOS and Android. It is free right now in the store.
Mm-hmm.
There's like an early release free preview version of it in the store. You can download and play. And what they said they were doing is they're just testing out maps and trying to build this world like bigger. I played through 9 maps in like 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
They were just trying to test through more maps. And if you sign up, if you head to... I don't have their email, actually. Go on. It'll be on their store, they said. But if you sign up for their mailing list... They're actually adding people as early testers to try out new maps in like black and white and try different things out, see how they go. But the game was really fun, was really smooth, and I kind of enjoy those, like, you know, this isn't a cut on the game, but I call them like toilet puzzlers or something, where you're just like sitting for 10 minutes or something, moving a thing around a map, and it's super enjoyable.
You can play quickly, like when you don't have anything, you just need to jump in and do
something. And I asked about music, and they said they're doing, because I couldn't hear it, they're doing... kind of atmospheric music that'll just shift with whatever map you're on.
I like it.
While you're playing. So, yeah, Where Shadows Slumber, it's free right now in the store. You can go play through some levels and enjoy yourself puzzling.
Cool. Sounds good.
Is that it? Are we done?
I guess that's it.
Is that
it? Wow. I think I didn't play anything else. Those were all the games I played today.
Cool.
That's it. Crazy. Well, thank you guys so much for listening to episode, was this 265?
Yeah.
Yep.
265 of the Radio NA podcast. Thanks for hanging in there with us this weekend, and we'll probably do, you know, we'll probably talk about the show a little bit more on the next show, because we'll be winding down, remembering some things we likely forgot. But as always, you can find us on social media, and that's at NerdAppropriate. You can email us all directly if you have any questions or comments, and that's Matt, Scott, or Ash, NerdAppropriate.com. You can go to our Facebook page, which is /NerdAppropriate on Facebook. We have a Twitch TV channel that we do not use, and that is Twitch.tv/NerdAppropriate. Also, follow us on Instagram. We have a lot of pictures from our adventures here. We'll probably be posting some more, you know, while we're all sitting at the airport, and we're like, oh, we should have put this one up. So go to /NerdAppropriate on Instagram as well. And as always, thanks to everyone that we spoke to, and thanks to all the devs for their time, and thanks to our pals for putting up with us this weekend. And we will see you guys at the next show.
Yeah.
Yay.
Liquid
noise.
It's gonna be
eating for me.
Eating?
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Ash?
I didn't hear the question.
I said I think drinking sounds grosser than eating on mic.
I think I'm an eating guy too. Mm-hmm. That's sticky
mouth noises.
Sticky, wet, popping.